If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verse 27, you may look at that and say, well, we read that last week. You're right, we did. And I'm so glad that you remembered. But this morning we're going to take a little different focus at those. You know, it's amazing how that one text of Scripture can be preached from by four or five different people and have totally different messages, or one minister can take the same passage and preach several messages from it. Well, this morning we're going to speak from a different perspective, so let's pay heed to the reading of God's Word. Mark 14, starting at verse 27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. May the Lord add His blessing to this portion of His Word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We've heard this morning how people crave it in China. Lord, help us to crave it here, to desire to hear it read, to hear it preached, to hear it applied to our lives. And Lord, we ask You that You would be with those that don't have the availability of the Scriptures, don't have the freedom that we have here. Lord, we pray that You would be with them, encourage them, and help them. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Last week we examined Peter's fall and saw the things that contributed to his fall. Peter listened selectively. He only listened that Christ would be smitten and that the sheep would be scattered, and he didn't hear about the other things that Jesus said. He was too confident in his own strength and his own might. He prayed too little. We saw later on in the text that Jesus left them to pray, and they fell asleep on three different occasions. We see that he reacted without thinking. He took the one sword that they had among them all and sliced off Malchus's ear, so he reacted without thinking. He fled and forsook Jesus. We saw that he followed from afar off. We also saw how we can avoid those things, that we need to follow closely with the Lord, that we need to be identified with the Lord. We need to not be ashamed of the Lord. The Scripture says that he that is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him before my Father in heaven. And do not flee or forsake the one that can help in the time of trouble. In fact, the only one that can help in the time of trouble. We need to take every thought captive, not act before consulting the Word of God. One of the things that brought a big amen from Sheriff Grady Judd was when he said that the Bible had the answer for every question. And folks, so many times we consult other places and other things. We saw also that an antidote was, instead of praying too little, we need to pray always, but especially when the flesh is weak. And then we need to be alert for the schemes of the devil. Peter, who was the author behind the book of Mark, writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we need to be alert because our adversary, the devil, seeketh whom he may devour. We need to not trust ourselves. The arm of flesh will fail you. There's no good thing that dwells within our flesh. And lastly, we saw that we need to listen to the whole counsel of God. And so last week we looked at Peter, his fall, what we could do to stop that fall in our own lives. This morning I want to look at the Lord Jesus. I want to look at the Lord Jesus. I trust you know this morning that the Lord Jesus is your Savior. I trust that you know this morning. I trust that you not only know it, but that you're thankful for it, that you're encouraged by it, and that he is becoming more and more precious to you every day. Not only is he our Savior, but he is our prophet. He tells us what we need to know. He's our priest. He makes intercession for us. He's our king. He's our ruler. I want us to look at what this passage reveals to us about the Lord Jesus. The first thing that I want us to see about the Lord Jesus is see his divinity here. To see his divinity, that he is God. There are seven things that he predicts here. Now, some say there's four, some say there's five, but I counted seven. And I know I've split a couple of them in half, but I sort of like that number seven. So I think we can find seven. Let's look at the text, if you would, with me. The first thing that Jesus says is that he says that you will be offended because of me. You'll be offended because of me. And in verse 50 we saw last week, and we'll see again this week, it says in verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. All would be... How did he know that? How did the Lord Jesus know that they would be offended by him? He knew it because he was God. But I would submit to you, not only did he know it because he was God, he knew it because he had planned it, he had purposed it. And how the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of men all work together, I cannot tell you, but I can tell you this, that God has a purpose and a plan, and he works his purpose and plan. If you don't believe me, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Where it says that he purposes and he plans all things after the counsel of his own will. And so we see, number one, that he predicts that they would all be offended. The second thing that I want you to see that he predicts, he says, I will smite the shepherd. It's a quotation of Zechariah 13, verse 7. I will smite the shepherd. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we see that he quotes Zechariah 13, 7 and says, I will smite the shepherd. Who is the I who is going to smite the shepherd? Who is the I that is going to smite the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you look back with me, keep your hand in Mark chapter 14, but go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of my favorites in the passage of Scripture. No, you probably remember the verse, all ye like sheep are turned astray, you have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The very next verse says this, Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shepherd is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I transposed, it's not a bad verse to read, but I meant to say verse 4. Read verse 4 with me. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I will smite the shepherd. God the Father smote. Now he uses the instrumentality of the cross to use the instrumentality of the Roman soldiers, of the Jewish leaders, of the wicked men. The Apostle Peter, speaking on that day of Pentecost, said, you by wicked hands have taken and slain him. But God says in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Father has smitten him. Romans 8:32 says he did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. Here's God the Father, did not spare his own son. He smote his son. He offered up his son, an offering to satisfy divine justice. And then that verse that is beloved by us all. And I don't think we think of it from this context. For God so loved the world. What's the next two words? Or three words, that he gave. What's the that he gave? That he offered him up, that he sacrificed him, that he smote him. And Jesus, before that time when he was smitten of God, knew that it was going to happen. And not only did he, why did he know that it was going to happen? Because before the time began, God the Father and God the Son in the covenant of redemption said, I will go and I will pay the price for sin. And God the Father, you know, a lot of times we think, you know, there's certain songs, oh, how he loves you and me. He gave himself to die. You know, wonderful. And a lot of people think of God the Son loves us and God the Father is angry at us. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world, God the Father loved the world, that he gave his only Son, God the Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so first of all, we see that Jesus predicted that all would be offended. Secondly, we see that God would smite the shepherd. Thirdly, we see that it says that the sheep will be scattered. And we saw that in verse 50 again, that all the disciples scattered. Number four. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. We talked about this a little bit last week when we said that Peter had the selective hearing. He heard about the scattering. He heard about the offense. He heard about the all those things. But he did not hear. But after that, I am risen. And Jesus said, I will rise again. It was no surprise to the Lord Jesus Christ that he rose from the dead. It was no surprise to God the Father that he was going to rise from the dead. It was purposed, it was planned. And in fact, not only here, but in Mark chapter 8 and Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10, he says the same thing. He tells them, but they are dull of hearing. Even after he had risen from the dead, you remember he was walking with the men from Emmaus? And they didn't realize, they didn't know, they couldn't understand what was happening until the Lord gave them understanding. It says, when the Lord opened their eyes. Do you know why you believe here this morning, if you believe? It's because God has opened your eyes. It's been a work of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Praise God. I was blind, but now I see. I will rise. Turn with me, if you don't believe me, to Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Mark 16, verse 9, it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Do you catch the beauty, the wonder, the marvel of that? Some of the most despised of society, Jesus appears to first. A woman, and to a woman that he cast seven demons out of. I will rise. But not only does he predict that he will rise, notice what else he predicts. He says in Matthew, there in Mark chapter 14 again, he says, I will go before you into Galilee. I love that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the next word? He leadeth me into green pastures. One of the things that they told us when we were in seminary was to be careful because we were to feed sheep, not giraffes. Because sheep, you have to put it down on the bottom rung. You can't put it way up here where only the giraffes can get it. They also told us that you lead sheep, you do not drive sheep. You drive cattle, but you don't drive sheep. You try to drive sheep, what's going to happen? They're going to scatter. And so it says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me into green pastures. John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for sheep. It says, I call my sheep by name. Does that not? Marilyn, I've got a confession to make. Marilyn comes in. I know Marilyn. I know her name as good as I know my own kids' names, but I couldn't remember it this morning. I went to my wife. I said, what's the lady sitting back? I know her name. I know her name. And she said, Marilyn. Oh, okay. Marilyn. Or she didn't remember my name. Yeah. That's all right. I was sitting here one night and we were having song nights. You know, we have some hymns before the message, and I pointed to that lady. I said, "That lady right there." And I couldn't remember her name. I couldn't remember. The Lord doesn't forget our names. He goes before them and he says, "I'm going to go before you. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to be in Galilee." And what happened? He's sitting by the Sea of Galilee making breakfast for them. "I'll go before you in Galilee." Number 6, in verse 30. He says, "Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now you can put these together, but I've split them out. "You'll deny me 3 times." And we looked last week, we won't go on in verses 66 through 72, that in fact that's exactly what happened. That he denied the Lord Jesus Christ on 3 separate occasions. But not only did he predict that he would deny him on 3 separate occasions, he predicted that he would deny him before the cock crowed twice. Now, if you remember last week we said that this account of Peter's denial is in all 4 of the Gospels. But this is the only Gospel that it says that he would deny him 3 times before the cock crowed twice. In all the other Gospels, it says that he denied before the cock crows. And people who don't like the Bible, the people that are trying to tear down the Bible, say, "See, there's a mistake in it. There's a mistake in it. All 3 of the other Gospels say that it was only crow once." No, it didn't say he would only crow once. It said that he would do that before the cock crowed. Let me give you an example. I hope that you can understand it a little bit. Peter, being the author behind the book of Mark, and being the one that was intimately involved, gives more details. It was vivid in his mind what had happened. But let me give you an example. Perhaps I would take somebody to a football game and would tell them, "I'm going to meet you at the gate at the horn." Now, all of us that know anything about football, or even that we don't, that at the final horn, at the end of the ball game, we're going to meet at this gate right here. But if I were to take somebody that didn't know the game very well and say that very thing to them, they might be at the gate after the first quarter, because there was a horn after the first quarter, after the second quarter, after the third quarter, after the fourth quarter. Now, if I say, "I will meet you at the fourth horn at the gate," I haven't contradicted the other statement that I'll meet you at the gate at the horn. It's just in a different sense. And we see here that all that Mark is doing is giving us a little more detail. I understand, I don't sit up listening to such things, but I understand that the rooster crows more than 1 time a night. I've heard that it can crow up to 3 times a night. But certainly what I've been told is that a rooster crows about the time of midnight and then about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so Jesus was making a very specific prediction that this rooster would crow twice when he had denied him 3 times. But I don't want just to look at Christ and his deity, in his exaltation, in his omniscience. I want you to see Jesus in his humility, in his humanity, in his humiliation. First thing I want you to see is that Jesus was subjected himself to human authority. He was lied about, he was beaten, he was scorned, he was whipped, he was crucified. He was abandoned by friends and relatives. It wasn't the prosperity gospel that we hear today, that God wants you to have everything in this life right now. Jesus allowed himself to suffer those things in order that he might enjoy eternity with the Father, with you, and with me. At any moment, at any time, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and have been delivered from that. But we see that when he came, and throughout his life, he was under the authority of the government. He had to go in and he paid his taxes. Remember how they didn't have any money, and so he said to Peter, go out and throw out a line, and when you get that fish, he'll have a coin inside his mouth. We can go and pay our tax. And so we see that he subjected himself to human authority. But not only see his humanity and his humiliation and his being under that authority, but thirdly, I want you to see his love. Jesus knew that all would be offended. Jesus knew that he would be smitten of the Father. He knew that all his friends would be scattered. But he also knew that he'd be risen. He also knew that he'd go to Galilee. He knew that Peter specifically would deny him three times before the cock crowed twice. Not only did he know it and do it willingly, he dreaded it. He dreaded it. Would you turn over to Mark chapter 14? And let's look here for just at verse 34 and a couple after. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Not in this passage, but we're told that he sweat great drops of blood. That's how intense this was. It says in verse 35, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36 says, and he said, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, all things are possible to unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. In his humanity, in his humiliation, he dreaded what was coming. What was the cup? What was the cup? Oh, it certainly encompasses all, but I would submit to you that the cup was the being rejected by his Father as the sin of the world was laid upon him. Folks, there are many men that have suffered throughout history. There are many men that have even suffered for their faith throughout history. There are many men that have died for their faith throughout history. But Jesus Christ was the only one that experienced the wrath of God. He's the only one that experienced the turning and the desertion of God. And so we see his love. But fourthly, we see his victory. We see his victory. His resurrection was a proof of the acceptation of God the Father of the sacrifice that God the Son made. It was not only proof of the acceptance, it was proof of his victory. It was proof that his word was true. Jesus said it would happen, and it happened just as he said. And it is proof that the Bible, which is his word, is true. This morning, beloved, I want you to see your Savior. I want you to see that he's mighty to save. Save, that he is suffered to save, he was loving to save, and he was victorious to save. His faithfulness to us ought to be our catalyst to be faithful to him. He is faithful and ever true, And when there is a time when we are not faithful and when we are not true, He will always be faithful to us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The chastening that we receive from the Lord is not because of His anger and is not because of His lack of love. It's because of His great love for us. What the world offers so many times is a very cheap imitation of love and of God's provision for us. And so this morning, dearly beloved, can we see our beautiful Savior? Can we love Him? Can we serve Him? And as we see Him there, may we not be as Peter, who says, I will not deny You. May we say, oh God, but by Your grace, only by Your grace, will I be faithful to You. At several weddings that I've been a part of and that I've observed, I've heard several men answer the question, wilt thou take this woman to be your wife, to love her and to cherish her in sickness and in health, forsaking all others and taking only her unto you? Will you? And the young man has answered, by God's grace, I will. Will you be faithful unto death to our Savior? And the answer is, by His grace. Let us pray. Father, we ask You this day that You would help us to see our Savior in His deity, in His strength and His might, in His omniscience, in His omnipresence, in His sovereignty. But Father, we ask You that this day You would help us to see Him also in His humanity, in His suffering, but also in His love, His willingness to lay down His life for the sheep, and Father, in His victory. Thank You, Lord, and I pray this day, if there's one of us that are in denial, if there's one of us that is in betrayal of our Savior, that, Lord, You would work in our hearts and our lives, and draw us close unto Yourself. For it's in Christ's name we pray it.